Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just for now, because I also think that the NCAA re-upped on the BCS trademark solely to stop me. That's my conspiracy theory, is that they re-upped on it solely to stop me because Two Stripes CPD is going. But they look really nice, and I'm doing great, man. I can't be worse than jumping on the show last week and saying that I trust Texas Tech and that I don't think Georgia can outscore Ole Miss. So let's see if we can do a little
better. Hey, and by the way, didn't we say we trusted Miami as well?
If we did, I want to forget it.
Okay, well, that I feel like that was one of the teams I brought up that I did trust. I did mention that the Crystal Ball game was bound to happen eventually. It happened last Friday. They went down to Louisville, 24-21, and here's Carson Beck. No touchdowns, 4 interceptions. It happened. Now, can they go the rest of their season and schedule unscathed? I think it's possible, very possible. There's not that much left. Stanford, SMU, Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. But there they are. Eventually, even when you think it's the easiest of years for Cristobal, wherever he's at, whether it was Oregon or Miami at this point, he finds a way to make his job a little bit harder, it feels like. Him and his team.
Yeah, and you can look at it from a good news, bad news perspective here. I think the good news for Miami, and you know how out on them and Cristobal I've always been. This one didn't feel like a loss to whatever was Georgia Tech a few years ago, where they just fumbled the game away.
Right.
Louisville is a strong team. That losing to them, like on his face, that isn't a horrible loss. That's a pretty damn good Louisville team. And secondly, none of their goals are off the table yet for Miami. So it's not like, you know, their playoff hopes are dead, their ACC title hopes are dead or anything. So those are the two pieces of good news. I think the bad news is you can kind of just copy-paste what I just said from the postscript of them losing to Georgia Tech at the when we got into the stretch of last year, where you said everybody was like, okay, well, that's just one loss, it's fine. And then they lose to Syracuse and they're out of the playoff.
Right.
So now you're not giving yourself any more room. And for them to lose at home is kind of tough, too. And, two, it wasn't like it was a fluke. You know, they turned the ball over 4 times. I think Louisville outplayed them. So that's got to be kind of concerning, especially losing that kind of game at home, to where I think for Miami, they really haven't proven anything yet. So I don't think you can look at the rest of their schedule and say, well, all these look like they're, you know, surefire wins, because we haven't seen them prove that they can do this for a full season yet. So I think that's something to look out for them, because they got to show they can do it.
Yeah, and what you just said about all their goals are still on the table, that's how I feel about my University of Memphis Tigers, but that loss to UAB sucked, didn't it? My gosh. I don't want to get into it too much, Colt, but a loss to UAB on the road in that spot right ahead of the biggest game of the year in the Group of Five, that put a damper on this weekend, didn't it?
At least Trent Dilfer wasn't on the sideline.
I talked to Ryan tomorrow. I do my weekly hit with Ryan tomorrow, and he, after the game, said he got out coached. But Alex Mortensen, the interim, had never coached as a head guy at any level. So it's going to be an interesting conversation tomorrow, to say the least. But from Miami, I want to stick in the state of Florida. Billy Napier finally fired. I guess it's like a trend in the SEC. You beat Mississippi State, and you've been on the hot seat for a while. You get fired. It was Jimbo Fisher in 2023. Now you have our guy Billy Napier out. I want your opinion on this, though, because of course Lane Kiffin is going to come into question here. Maybe you have some takes to throw out there about a potential move from Ole Miss to Florida. But how good is that Florida job? Because I hear a lot of takes this week about it. And there's some people that have this no doubt, without question, it's better than the Ole Miss job. It's a top five job in the SEC. But do you feel that way about that job? Just curiously.
I don't, because when you I'm looking at the history of Florida football right now and the recent history, you know, we know about the Urban Meyer era and the highs that reached. But in all honesty, that was a 5-6 year stretch, and it was a 4 year stretch where they were super, super dominant, and they haven't even come close to that since. I know there was 2019 where they went 11-2. 2020 they started off hot and they were ranked pretty high. You saw flashes of it in the Jim McElwain era. I don't see Florida as a top five, top seven job. With the right person, absolutely, especially in the portal era. You're looking at, you know, an era of college football now where Kurt Cignetti's at Indiana and they're about to make back-to-back playoffs. So if that can happen at Indiana, it sure as hell can happen at Florida, right? But I just think that job's kind of a little overrated when people talk about it like that, because the success of it really hasn't been there historically beyond Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I've made this case. I think, especially with jobs at the top of the P4, you know, in the SEC and the Big Ten, I think these guys, especially looking at Kurt Cignetti, maybe a guy like, you know, Lane Kiffin as well, I think we need to look at these jobs more as like the NFL idea. Well, who are you working with when you get there? How are they going to treat you? Can they make good personnel decisions and help you along the way? What's the money that's going to be poured into this thing? Right? Are they cash strapped? Are they cash rich? What are we looking at? But like, I think we need to start looking at it more in that vein than how we have in the past. Because I feel like in the past, like Brian Kelly left Notre Dame for LSU because historically you've been able to, in the 21st century, win a national title there and you've been able to recruit better. But that's not the day and age we live in. You look at the job he left behind at Notre Dame and what Marcus Freeman's been able to do with it. I think he's been proven wrong to this point. So I feel like as a college football community, we need to sort of re-envision how we look at jobs going forward. If you can make your particular job into a national title contender, like Kurt Cignetti has at Indiana, like seemingly Lane Kiffin has at Ole Miss, now he needs to take another step to get really to that point, but he's been close for a while. I feel like those jobs, if you're able to put that roster together, get what you want behind the scenes, those are more valuable than the historically good jobs like a Florida that we look around the country at.
I agree with that, and I think you made a great point about who you're working with and kind of the inner workings of everything going on, because when you look at Florida, they're about to be on what, their fourth coach in the last 10 years? So to me, that sounds like a job that has a lot of headaches probably
right
behind the scenes. And we saw that even whenever it was 5 to 7 years ago when they wanted to get an indoor practice facility built. And just
correct
some of the stuff we've seen.
Well, and the Jane Rashada thing. Like, that's the other part of it. Like, everybody wants to mention that Billy Napier, you know, as bad as he was, he helped get that NIL situation situated eventually. But I remember the Jane Rashada situation. They were in a lawsuit. We're not that far removed from that.
And what we're not far removed from either, because it happened last week, was all of last week, there were so many different reports coming out of people saying, hey, doesn't matter, win or lose, Billy Napier is done after the Mississippi State game. And so when you're a head coach, when you're other people looking at taking a job in Gainesville with Lane Kiffin or whoever that coach, that next Florida coach ends up being, you're seeing how things went for the guy on the way out. If you still have the same AD, if you still have kind of the inner workings of the athletic department, and you're saying, okay, well, this operation clearly can't keep anything in-house. Like, we all know stuff gets out, and that's just the nature of the beast. But with Florida over the past month, it's just been hit after hit after hit after soundbite after soundbite after viral tweet about everything happening in that athletic department in that football program. And when you go from a place where Lane Kiffin kind of has most of that stuff on lock, or a guy like Jeff Brohm, just because the Florida job provides this platform, like you said, or provides these resources, is it really going to be worth it in the end when you know it's just a leaky mess?
Yeah. And I feel like in a place like Louisville for Jeff Brohm, and in a place like Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin, I mean, if you go to Florida, you just lose say. And I think that's sort of what you're referring to, for the most part. You just lose say behind the scenes. There's a lot more cooks in the kitchen.
That's why, too, all the stuff about even leading into the year, if Colorado would have had a great year this year, which is, you know, still possible, the talk of anybody talking about Deion Sanders is like, why would he want to go anywhere? He can do what he can mold this whole thing in his image, and there's so many different coaches beyond him, too, to varying extents, who are in the perfect position right now in this era to lead their programs the way they want, and they have administrative support. They don't have to deal with meddlesome boosters. They don't have to deal with all of these problems behind the scenes that we never really talk about, or you don't talk about on air while the games are being played. And then you look at a situation like Florida where that just constantly happens. And it has to be a kind of a cautionary tale for anybody looking at that job or jobs like it.
All right, so I have been debating this, the who's next conversation. Who's going to get the hook next? Who's going to get fired? I think Luke Fickell's probably, you know, at the top of the list at Wisconsin. But I don't know if there's a lot of people, especially in my listening area, paying attention to that. The other two I look at, Hugh Freeze at Auburn, who just started 0-4 in SEC play for the third consecutive season, first time Auburn has ever any coach at Auburn has ever done that. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And also, they go into next week as underdogs on the road against an Arkansas team that's defeated, completely defeated in SEC play. And then Mike Norvell, my former coach at Florida State. So, like, when you look at the other guys out there that could get the cut next, who are we looking at closest?
I think you brought up some good names too. It's such a war zone right now. Bill Belichick is the situation where, like, it's kind of died down over the past few weeks, but they lose a close game.
But once Pablo Torre gets all his reporting out there, that may change.
Yeah, like, you just don't know. On a smaller scale, you know, a little bit closer to where you are, Derek Mason at Middle Tennessee, I know they play tonight. That's one I'm not going to mince words. I don't think anybody really cares about, but it's a possibility. But to me, the Mike Norvell situation is the most kind of intriguing around the country, because he has this big buyout, but we're getting to a point where, you know, they haven't won an ACC game since last September. The Alabama win is just completely flushed away. Nobody cares about that win at all. Like, he really doesn't have anything saving him. And you're starting to see, like, what we just brought up with Florida, these behind-the-scenes kind of bits and tidbits of stories about, well, a player might have said something, or they had this altercation or this run-in on the sideline, whatever it may be. All of this kind of seems to be stacking up, and as much as Florida State's AD or Wisconsin's AD, who gave the vote of support to Fickell and said we're going to keep him throughout the season, we still got, everybody at least has six games to go. And I think if you're Florida State, if you're Wisconsin, you lose a couple more of these games. At what point do you get to where Penn State was with James Franklin or some of these other firings we've seen, where it's just like the noise is not worth it? Even if you want to wait, you're dead set on quote unquote doing the right thing for these guys and waiting till the end of the season. There's only so much noise you can take. So I think a Florida State, Wisconsin, who has to go play Oregon now on the road, like at some point you just got to cut bait and move on to something else. So I think Norvell, Luke Fickell, and you know the Hugh Freeze one, you never really know with Auburn. I could see a situation where they keep him through the rest of the year, but at this point we see the main issue is the offense, and Hugh Freeze is supposed to be the guy that has a good offense, and that's the main problem at Auburn.
And I you know what, with Hugh Freeze, he is just one of those guys that cannot say the right things at the podium either. It's just never been his fault. It's never been his fault ever. And I consistently look at what he talks about when it comes to the quarterback position, wanting more a better mental makeup, you know, wanting those guys to really grasp on to his concepts. Brother, you handpicked these last two guys. You picked Peyton Thorne. You picked Jackson Arnold. And I look around the country at some of the guys that are really thriving. Auburn, that university, with the money they have, the resources they have, with what Hugh Freeze has unlocked there, you could have gotten a Fernando Mendoza, brother. You could have gotten the pick of the litter, a Trinidad Chambliss. Anyone around the country could have had Trinidad Chambliss. You're the one, ultimately, Hugh, who picked these guys. They haven't shown through, and now on the back end, it seems like you're sort of pushing off the blame to them, when in reality, it's you. It's you. You're the one who made these decisions.
And that's what's got to be so frustrating for Auburn fans, because it's not like they're that far off. In the four SEC games they've lost, they're 0-4. The defense has given up 22, 16.
They've yet to score 20 in an SEC game this year. I mean, that's insane for what's supposed to be an offensive head coach in Hugh Freeze.
And that's, if you do it twice, you're 2-2, and Auburn fans are feeling so much better than they are, because at least two of those wins are probably big wins to go along with the Baylor win at the start of the season in non-conference, and nobody's talking about this. But instead, the offense hasn't done anything. You have one of the best receivers, one of my favorite guys to watch in all the country, in Cam Coleman, who's just kind of going out there and you can't get him the ball. And so, you know, you have this situation where the head coach, his main thing is supposed to be fielding a good offense, having just this point guard distributor. And we're looking at three straight seasons now where it hasn't even been average. It's been subpar, below average, and you're seeing it with how it's playing out on the field, and it's really wasting an awesome defense.
Yeah, now on the positive side of this coaching carousel conversation, what's happened at UCLA is, I mean, it's quite frankly amazing. I did not see this coming at all. And I know that, you know, when the decision was made to fire Deshaun Foster, you and I were like, oh, we felt bad for Deshaun. But now I don't feel as bad for Deshaun. It's clearly something was amiss behind the scenes when Deshaun was coaching that program. They've won three straight. They have on the road at Indiana coming up this weekend. And I think people are really going to be tuned into that to see what happens. I know Indiana's 25.5-point favorites, but I'm not ruling anything out coming up this weekend. At this point, though, when you look at Jerry Neuheisel, Tim Skipper, the UCLA higher-ups have to really give them a hard look in regards to taking over the full-time gig. One of the two, or just sort of keep what you have, Tim Skipper as the coach, Jerry Neuheisel as the OC. Like, they have to give a thought to that, right?
I think they have to do it at this point, because I do believe that short-term mirage results are a very real thing with interim head coaches.
But this is 3 weeks, man, and they're just finding ways to win ball games.
It's 3 weeks, and you're looking at a situation where it's not just, you know, the players believe in these guys and they're really good coaches. It's the fact that a place like UCLA, whose administration is so, I don't know if the right word is like ambivalent or just like nonchalant in the way that they approach kind of football, it's hard for UCLA fans and LA in general to get behind UCLA. And now you're hearing all this buzz about them. You had a really nice crowd against Maryland. It feels feels like they have the most energy they've had since probably the height of, like, the Jim Mora era. So if you're UCLA, you not only have to look at the results on the field, but just the energy behind the program right now. And, you know, maybe you can go out and headhunt somebody and make the greatest hire of all time, but you're in a position where you're coming from the bottom. You have these two guys in Skipper and Neuheisel, who clearly love being there. Everybody says Neuheisel's like Mr. UCLA. Why mess with that right now? If that doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But right now, it looks like it's a perfect fit, and I think they should just keep going with it.
All right, now let's revisit our conversation that we had last week. And I know it didn't turn out very well for us, but teams you trust. You had Texas Tech in there. I think I threw Miami in there. They both lose. Who do you trust now in college football going into week nine? Is it just those top three teams in the country? Ohio State, Indiana, A&M?
I think so. I mean, I still trust Oregon, because outside of the Indiana game was a close game and a game they lost at home. But Indiana, like we've said, is one of the best teams in the country. So I think you can throw Oregon in there as well. And honestly, Alabama's, they're climbing up the list, because after the Florida State loss, they've gone out and, you know, they've won a couple of close games, but like what they did against Tennessee, what they did against Missouri, winning that game on the road, I think you got to maybe not put them in that top tier, but they've certainly shown enough for me where I'm comfortable saying, hey, maybe they're at the top of that second tier, and after the next couple of weeks, if they continue to play like that, they can get up there.
But let me ask you the question. I know what gives me pause, but what gives you pause and putting Alabama in that tier one after six straight wins and looking pretty dominant last week against Tennessee, number 11 team in the country?
I think just the residue of the Florida State loss.
Right, yeah, it's still like, hanging around.
It's still hanging around, and I think it can be out of there. They go into South Carolina this week, and they're 12.5-point favorites. We know South Carolina's 3-4. They're banged up. They're counting on three or four guys to make all the plays for them. But if they go out and just dominate in Columbia, I know it's not a huge win on the scale of national wins, but that'll make me feel even more confident about them. And I really do think that it's just the residue.
Is it last year, too? Can we date this back to last year and the residue from the losses they had a year ago and just generally the Kalen DeBoer era, where it feels like, you know, after Saban, he's got to earn everything. He's got to earn all of the confidence from a fan base, from an SEC watch, you know, from all the SEC viewers, all the SEC fans. It feels like he's just got to earn everything at this point.
I think so. And you know what? People may say that that's unfair, but, you know, when you're the guy who replaces Nick Saban, it's like being Jimmy Johnson replacing Tom Landry. Like, that's, if you're going to replace that guy, then you're going to have to wear those expectations. And the great thing for Alabama, it's a double-edged sword. They still have to play LSU and Oklahoma, but they can kind of earn that over this last month. And then even that last week, man, at Auburn, we know about the Jordan Hare voodoo. And so Alabama fans aren't going to look at that game and be like, oh, you got to beat Auburn by 25. They're saying, we just need to go into Auburn and pick up a win. And it doesn't matter, because crazy things happen here. So I do think that there's probably a little bit too left over from last year and kind of just how different Alabama looked with him than compared to Nick Saban. And you know what? He's just going to have to prove that he can do that on his own.
All right, now watching down the stretch, I know it's an open week this week for Georgia, but watching down the stretch in that Ole Miss game where they ended up pulling out a win 43-35, I'm closer to getting back on the Georgia bandwagon than I have been this entire season. Obviously, I know they still have that loss to Alabama, but it was very close, and I don't think they played their best game by any stretch of the imagination. I still want to see that vintage Georgia defense show up at least once this year, and not in a game against a team like Auburn, where they only gave up those 10 points. But Georgia, Gunnar Stockton looks really good. I was very impressed with him last week against Ole Miss. And, you know, we're getting to a stretch of schedule where it feels like they could build some confidence. In a couple of weeks, they're on the road against Florida. Then after that, they're going to have Mississippi State. Then against Texas at home. I don't believe in Texas still until they prove otherwise. Then Charlotte. Then that last game against Georgia Tech is going to be a challenge. But how close are you to getting back into Georgia getting back into the good graces of one two-stripe CPD and with Colton Denning?
It's tough for me because I was like this last year with Georgia, where we got to the playoff, and I said, you know what? They've been kind of hit or miss by their standards, but it's the playoffs. It's crunch time. We saw them beat Texas in the SEC championship game. I'm believing in Georgia. I think they're going to win the national championship. Then we get to the playoff, and they play Notre Dame, and it just, you know, kind of all goes off the rails. And so for them to not only beat Ole Miss, but beat them in the exact opposite way that I thought if they won, they would be able to by scoring 43 points, that to me, I feel much more comfortable. And Gunnar Stockton to play the way that he did, and you're getting some strong performances from Zach Branch, who's coming into his own. We know that Georgia just has like this stable of three or four tight ends.
Sure.
They just pull out, and they got these four tight ends set.
Eventually Mike Bobo remembers that they exist.
Yeah,
Oscar Delp, Lawson Lucky.
The all tight end offense. And I wish they had a more, you know, prototypical outside playmaker or a true playmaker at running back. And I'm just like you. I'm waiting for their defense to play like the Georgia defense of 2022 or of 2021. And maybe that's just not what they are anymore, at least right now at that level. But to me, like, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic because I was so overboard on believing in them last year going into the playoff that I'm a little bit scarred this season.
Yeah, all right. Now, speaking of defense, I know that probably in my listening area we haven't had a lot of people go watch this team on a consistent basis, but Ohio State, how good is that defense? They're allowing opposing offenses 5.9 points per game. That's all they have allowed so far this year, and they have so many guys that I think will be drafted coming up in the 2026 NFL draft. How good is that defense, truthfully?
I don't even know if we've seen how good they are, they can be, because it feels like they've been on cruise control for most of the season. It felt like they kind of put Arch in that Texas offense and what Steve Sarkisian wanted to do in a vice grip. And then in some of these other games, teams have just been so outmatched that it feels like they're not even really – Matt Patricia's not even really dipping into his bag yet of what he can really do with some of these guys, with an Arvell Reese, with a Caleb Downs. You have these players who are so talented and are super smart players more than anything that give him kind of the freedom to just move him around and do all this stuff, to where a lot of college quarterbacks, college offensive coordinators are like, well, what is happening here?
For sure. Well, Colt, I'll let you roll, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.